We are going to fight them off. The fascists, the authoritarians, the dictators, and those that collude with them, you know, to divide up the spoils of our labor and, you know, tell us how we're going to live our lives. Wait a minute. Who are we talking about again? I'll get back to that in a second. More breaking news. Incredibly, Secretary of State Marco Rubio advocating for a new U.S.-Russia partnership, saying America needs to, quote, take advantage of the incredible opportunity to work with Putin geopolitically, economically, and on issues of common interest. Issues of common interest with a dictator? Do you think this might be to the economic advantage of billionaire overlords, potentially? I mean, might that be what's going on? We'll get back to that. Okay, we've been talking about J.D. Vance's speech last week in Munich, ostensibly at a conference amongst Western allies about how to secure Western Europe and democracies. Instead of talking about that and the threat Russia poses, well, to the entirety of Western Europe, including all former Soviet bloc countries, J.D. Vance decided to scold all of Western Europe, and of course the Biden administration, there were a few hits in there for that too, for failing to live up to their democratic values and to protect free speech. Let's take a listen to a bit more from J.D. Vance last week. Cut to Cal, if you don't mind.
Now again, we don't have to agree with everything or anything that people say. But when people represent, when political leaders represent an important constituency, it is incumbent upon us to at least participate in dialogue with them. Now, to many of us on the other side of the Atlantic, it looks more and more like old entrenched interests hiding behind ugly Soviet-era words like misinformation and disinformation, who simply don't like the idea that somebody with an alternative viewpoint might express a different opinion or, God forbid, vote a different way or, even worse, win an election.
Let's pause here. In general, and please don't all scream at once into your radio, I agree with what J.D. Vance is saying. But the question isn't, do we agree in baseline principle? The question is, where do you draw the line? Right? The Nazi Party became the dominant political party in Germany. Does that mean you're, yep, sign up. Sometimes the majority gets things really, really wrong. And in a democracy, there are supposed to be checks. You know, checks and balances, these co-equal branches of government that provide the protections of those groups, of those individuals, sometimes on an individual basis, sometimes on a group basis, whose rights may be infringed when the majority has power and control, like through a democratic system. Laws can be unconstitutional, though duly passed. Laws and presidential decision-making can go against our most fundamental values as Americans, even though a president was duly elected. So the platitudes, JD, don't speak to the problem, which is when the speech is saying women no longer get the right to vote and there's only two genders, even though a judge just said that that's not true because science says that's not true, right? Do we just legislate transgender or intersex people out of existence? If you think there's only two genders, do we get to lock those people up? And the examples that J.D. Vance used in his speech in Munich were all examples of speech suppression of only those on the far right. The question has always been, where do you draw the line? It's in fact elementary, pedantic, totally off the freaking point for him to selectively call out the suppression of speech. And by using these selective examples, align himself, the Trump administration, and by extension, this country, with those on the far extremist neo-Nazi, resurgent Nazi right. And this coming from an administration that has currently barred the AP from Air Force One. This is the Associated Press Wire Service. They've also banned the AP from other media events. Because the wire service won't call the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. This from an administration in which it is led by a man who has gone on a personal litigation crusade to shut down media outlets, who is extracting settlement after settlement for media, from media outlets for telling the truth, and because they're so worried about retribution from the Federal Communications Commission. This from the guy that attacks the media as the enemy of the people. Whatever you think about the media, it's an essential part of democracy. Let's criticize the media, but to call the media the enemy of the people while at the same time lecturing Western Europe about whether or not they pay sufficient fidelity to the free speech rights of the far right is disingenuous at best, and at worst, the work of a wannabe dictator. Elon Musk just called for the reporters on CBS's 60 Minutes program the biggest liars in the world, and they should all receive a long prison sentence. But J.D. Vance, Musk, and Trump are the pro-free speech people? Weird. Oh, yeah. Trump's border czar is calling for police at the Department of Justice to investigate AOC for telling immigrants about their actual rights. Not lying about their rights, providing them accurate information, but she should be jailed for that. That sounds like a group of people that really stand behind the First Amendment. And by the way, just today in reporting, the Washington Post cancels an ad from groups calling for Musk or for Trump to fire Musk. Sounds like free speech to me, doesn't it? So J.D. Vance lecturing Western Europe about free speech is insane. And lest I remind you, the folks who have been the most zealous advocates for free speech in this country starting in the 1960s were those, quote, liberal activists that conservatives hated so much. The United States, our view on the First Amendment has only become as strong as it is today, tolerant of very few restrictions on speech, because of, quote, those liberal progressive activists back in the 60s. In fact, one such lawyer, a guy by the name of Brady Williamson, just died. He was a giant amongst lawyers in Wisconsin and was most well known for his zealous lifelong advocacy of free speech. In fact, he was the lawyer in Wisconsin that sued the University of Wisconsin system when it enacted effectively a speech code for its students and won. It's interesting that J.D. Vance didn't mention Vladimir Putin's execution of journalists, of his silencing of anyone who politically disagrees with him. He didn't talk about any of that, did he? Because that is a long list. He didn't talk about Viktor Orban targeting abortion rights protesters. He didn't talk about any of those things. He didn't talk about the fact that Viktor Orban is jailing political cartoonists. He didn't talk about the fact that Germany, over the past year, has shut down nonviolent pro-Palestinian protesters. He didn't talk about the fact that in Germany, activists calling for a boycott of Israeli products were prosecuted under anti-discrimination laws in Germany and in France. He didn't talk about those in the United States that used their platform to attack not just judges doing their jobs, but frontline court staff doing their jobs. And he certainly didn't criticize himself for saying on the record that Vice President Pence should have simply refused to follow the Constitution and that he should have refused to certify the election. Didn't mention any of that. And we have to recall that the day after J.D. Vance said these things, lecturing Western Europe about their fidelity to free speech and basic democratic small d values, Donald Trump tweeted this: "He who saves his country does not violate any law." That is not democracy. And just to be sure that we all got the point, excuse me, the White House Twitter account then reposted that. That statement, which is often attributed to Napoleon, didn't go so well for him, did it, by the way? Often attributed to Napoleon, is about the most un-American, anti-democratic thing someone, least of which a president, could say. It's bat guano nonsense. And if you don't believe me, if you're a conservative, you like Donald Trump, go read the National Review, its response to Trump tweeting that. Oh, and if you missed one of the links to Nazism here in this country, Elon Musk, of course, retweeted Donald Trump's statement that he who saves his country does not violate any law. Retweeted it with 14 American flags. Why 14? Well, we could assume that it was just a random number. But if you know anything about modern day Nazism, the number 14 has a very, very special meaning. And I'm not going to go into it in great detail because it would take a whole nother show to do that. But 14 shows up all the time. It's a reference to the 14 words. Oh, do you remember the fact that America First, that little slogan, was the name of an openly pro-Nazi movement in the 1930s. We don't seem to forget that down the memory hole. Do we remember that Donald Trump said that immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country? Do we recall that Hitler said the very same thing about Jews? Do we forget that the 2021 CPAC conference featured a stage that resembled the Odal rune, which is a Nazi symbol? Do we forget his dinner with Nick Fuentes? Or even Elon Musk's recent Nazi salutes? We're going to pick it up right here. We're going to take your calls and text next. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Join this great discussion about some very, very real news right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show.